Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now. This is Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist. Today we're doing a fan favorite edition of Cosmic Queries. And I got with me, I've never had him before, Godfrey.
Hey, man.
Godfrey.
What's up?
Godfrey tweeting at Godfrey Comedian.
Godfrey Comedian.
You didn't use your last name, Danchima.
Danchima.
Okay, that's fine. We don't have to.
It's too long.
Too long. Too weird.
Too weird. It can sound Japanese sometimes.
Danchima.
Danchima. Danchima.
The bathroom's two doors down on the left.
Constipation. No. If I'm constipated, I use my last name.
We get any mail, we're sending it to you
when
on
I
that
need,
one.
When I need an extra push, I go, Danchima.
Okay. That was not one of the Cosmic Queries, but if we start out with scat jokes at the beginning, there's no place to go after that. Anyhow, it's cool having you on, man.
Thanks. I've been watching your shows. I see you on Bill Maher's show, Real Time.
Not a hot air on, though. I just try to
put it in. But it's great, but you know how you step in, you say a little thing, let the scientists talk. Bam! I'm like, I'm proud of that man right there. That's right. He's articulate and smart.
Thank you. I got a fan
awesome.
Out there.
And your Cosmos, it's awesome because I used to watch Cosmos with my dad with Carl Sagan.
Oh, yeah.
He took over the reins. And then when I saw you were a 14-year-old kid, you met Carl Sagan. He gave you his number.
His phone number.
Yo.
So I had people say to me, I should have told him that the bus really couldn't come through, and I had to spend the night in Cornell because he gave me the phone number in case the bus back to the city didn't happen. No, but I was too honest back then.
You're too honest. Oh, my. Were you, was he, the nicest dude ever?
He was very polite and very, it was almost, he cared. I mean, that's really it.
He cared
about the trajectory of others who would come behind him.
Wow.
Not enough people do that in all the professions.
It's called comedy. Yeah. A lot of my friends suck. Hey, man, can you tweet for me? I don't know. Might take my followers. Yeah, that crap. But yeah, Carl was like,
he was a genuine person.
Man, he could have at least given you his turtleneck and his jacket, too. That would have been sweet.
Just his elbow patches.
His elbow patches were awesome. And you said, because we were talking before we started the show, and I thought that he was a guy who said billions and billions of stars.
He only said the word once at any
billions.
Time.
And Johnny Carson
was the one who doubled up on him. Imitating him with
I can do Johnny Carson, right?
All right, let me hear.
Okay, watch. I did not know that. Wow, good stuff. Carl Sagan. Here I go, watch this. Wow, billions and billions. And then Ed would go, ho, ho, ho. Nah? Nah? Can I get some Johnny Carson fan love?
Okay, for everyone over 60, that was Johnny Carson's
You know there's
imitation.
A 60-year-old man going, I like that, boy. That boy does Johnny Carson.
Okay, go ahead. So we got some, this is a Cosmic Queries edition on cosmic phenomena. I haven't seen the questions before.
Okay.
Pulled from our fan base. And so you got them. You have the steering wheel.
Yes, I do.
So let's bring it on.
Okay. I'm going to read one from a Patreon.
Patreon. These are, yes. So these are people who support the show. And so basically they extort our setup to get their questions asked first.
Yo, I thought the Patreon was a name, like an alien name.
Oh, no. The Patreon.
You guys are Cosmos, so I thought it was
the Klingons, the Patreons.
I am a Patreon. My name is... This guy's name, it's a little annoying.
Okay, well.
Kyle, why'd you have to spell your name like C-Y-L-E? So it looks like Sile. But it's Kyle.
I'm trying to be an individual.
Trying to be special. You know, like when Christina, it's with a C and a K. It's okay. Here we go. Okay. Here's a Patreon, Kyle Yoakum. He's from Tennessee.
All right.
So I think I'm going to use an accent for this one. Okay.
That's Texas more than Tennessee.
Well, okay. What's this now? Exactly. As long as you don't know where it is, I don't like how you specify my name.
Oh, I spent some time in the South. I got
some. All right. Here we go. How's that one?
That's Ranch, Texas.
Okay. Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee. Yeah, there we go.
All right,
I'm from Tennessee. Okay, here we go. Kyle Yoakum. Here's the question. All right, uh-huh. Ready? Here we go. Okay. The math of Einstein's equation shows nothing can reach the speed of light if it has mass. But if we discovered a massless particle that could be accelerated beyond light speed and travel backwards in time, the instant it did, would it begin to decelerate again, since acceleration required forward movement in time, and going backwards in time would be the reverse? If so, it seems it would just be stuck at exactly light speed. Could this be why photons are always traveling at that speed?
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
That was
there's a lot in there. That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it seemed like he was repeating something that was obvious.
But no, but obvious to whom too?
he said, would it reverse? It's almost like he said, the instant it did, would it begin to decelerate? Like, that's almost like a common sense.
Okay, thing. So the way it works on the other side,
okay,
would you cross over Einstein's
me.
Equation? Yes. So anything with mass cannot accelerate to reach the speed of light.
Okay.
It's never been seen, nor is it theoretically possible.
Right.
And we've tried it. So we have experimental evidence, theoretical foundation, and the like.
Yes.
So things that travel the speed of light have no mass at all, like photons, which he correctly noted.
Right.
Okay. So now my brethren of decades ago,
yes,
my academic brethren, hypothesized a particle that lives faster than light. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have the problem of accelerating to the speed of light.
Right.
Because it just lives faster than the speed of light.
Wow.
Okay. So if you have such a particle, what would happen to it? Well, it would live backwards in time.
Mm.
And we call this particle tachyons.
Wow.
From the Greek tachyos, meaning fast. Like a tachometer is the same root.
So that'd be like Usain Bolt's a tachathion athlete.
Tachathlete. Yeah, there you go. We finally got it. Tachathlete.
Yeah, tachathlete.
The word tachy is a common root when people want to refer to things going fast, where speed is the measure of things.
Okay.
So we hypothesize that there might be a particle called tachyons. Now, tachyons are really cool if you think about it, because if I sent it to you now, you would have gotten it before I sent it.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. So
it is.
So you can imagine. So I've thought about this.
Okay.
Here's an interesting scenario. If you could text via tachyons, all right?
What?
So I see you walk.
Yeah.
And and you okay. So there's a banana peel in your path.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't want you to trip on it.
Okay.
Okay. So but you already tripped on it.
Okay.
So I send you a tachyon message that you get in the past.
Right.
Okay, you got that? Were you with me?
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I send you a text, and I say, watch out for the banana peel.
I'm already on the
ground. And then your smartphone jiggles.
Right.
You pick it up.
Yeah.
Read the text.
Yeah.
And then you're no longer looking where you're stepping.
Right.
And you slip on the banana peel.
Well, that depends on your phone package. I mean, if you got Sprint.
So it may be that changing
the
past might not be possible. Because the very act of me trying to interfere with you stepping on the banana peel is what actually made you step on the banana peel. You were not paying attention to the banana peel because you were reading the text
right,
that I sent you to not step on the banana peel.
So are you saying that, is it true that everything happens at the same time?
Well, so there's another way to think about that.
You know what I'm saying?
If you have like a yardstick,
yeah,
you can say all the numbers are on that yardstick at the same time. Right. They're all just there.
Right.
You can be 8 inches, 30 inches, right? Yeah. They're just there. So imagine a timeline that's just there. You're born on one end, you die on the other end. It's just there. Wherever you could jump in, jump out,
right,
join yourself at any part of your lifetime.
Right.
So therefore, in a sense, your timeline, when viewed from a higher dimension, is all happening at the same time.
Whew. deep. I think I kind of got there.
Well, not just so.
This is tachyon thinking.
It's tachyon. You want a tachyon brain? This is how you do it.
Right. I already thought about it yesterday.
Except the timeline has to be thought of in the higher dimension that allows you to see the entire timeline all at once. That's the only point. In our current dimensionality,
yes,
we are prisoners of the present.
Yes,
forever transitioning between our inaccessible past and our inaccessible future.
Okay, then we just live in the present.
That's what it is.
That's all we can do.
All we can do. But a higher dimension being would say, "Hey, just rejoin."
Who would that be? Buddha.
From any images I've seen illustrating him.
So what? I would not think,
there's a higher dimensional being. No,
and who would that be, though? This is what I want to know.
You want to know if
we're talking
human.
From a human perspective. Now, who's this higher being? It'd have to be maybe the Dalai Lama, if he meditates to a certain point.
Okay, so if you meditate, but what I wonder is if meditation is happening interior to your brain, and not objectively verifiable by others outside of your brain. So if your mind experiences it,
yes.
Then you go back in time in your mind, sure. But we're talking about a physical reality, not a neurological reality.
Ah.
And meditation is all about your neurological reality.
Okay. But don't you need, isn't mind and body the same thing or no?
No, because we can pith your brain and your body. The things we can do to your mind and your body's just still there.
That's true.
I can take out this part of your brain and you can't speak. This other part of your brain, you can't recognize faces.
True.
This other part of your brain, you lose your appetite. We know enough about the brain to know what the causes and effects are.
Let me tell you something. Here's the reason why we don't know a lot about the brain. You want me to tell you why?
Okay, you got this.
The reason why we don't know, we still have mysteries about the brain, is because we're using the brain to try to think about it. So why would the brain give you that secret? Come on. The brain's like, I'm not going to give you all my stuff.
So you're asking a very deep question.
Yeah.
Can the mind understand itself?
We don't know. And guess what? What you just thought about, the mind gave you.
So as I think about it, we are assemblies of atoms and molecules in this universe,
right?
That the universe itself created,
right?
And we're on a mission to decode and understand the very operations of the universe itself.
Okay.
So, as has been said before, we, in a way, are a pathway for the universe to figure itself out.
Wow, that's heavy.
So the fact that we can even approximate some of what is real in the universe gives me hope that our mind can figure out our mind.
Mm. I think there would have to be something outside the mind to figure out the mind.
Probably to do it best.
You have to.
Right now we're kind of grogging along. It's like an unborn child deducing the nature of its mother. You can't do it because you're inside.
Exactly.
You have no idea what your mama looks like. unless you have one of these mirrors that you can stick out.
Wow, that would be scary.
If you saw one of those.
You have like an alien vagina? Jesus. Sorry, vagina is a proper word.
That's scientifically proper. That's a proper word.
If a hand came out to look at it, oh, goodness.
So here you go. So on the other side of the speed of light,
yes,
all the properties of tachyons include, last I had checked up on them, that it would take an infinite amount of energy to slow them down to the speed of light.
Wow.
And they're capable of infinite speeds. So that's what, so if you want to take Einstein's equations and flip them to the other side, knowing you can't pass through the speed of light, these are the properties of what's going on.
That's heavy, man.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah.
What is it, 186,000 miles per second?
282 miles per second.
Wow. Was that pretty good?
That's very good.
Oh,
very.
Yeah!
Godfrey!
Hey, I know I'm not you,
Godfrey,
but I got a love number right.
Three significant figures in the speed of light.
Let's go.
Take
that
him.
Was a good one, Yoakum.
Take
it.
That just took most of this segment. Okay.
I know. Jeez. How about this one? This is pretty simple. Aradia Farmer from Facebook. How much space is there inside a black hole?
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, okay, so you can measure the volume of the event horizon of the black hole.
Okay.
One of the most poetic terms ever.
It's amazing.
Given what it does to you as you go this one way, you don't come back.
Yeah.
This is the zone within which there is no return.
Yes.
The event horizon.
The event horizon.
Of the, no, you say it, we got to be soft.
Okay.
The event horizon.
The event horizon.
And now,
and
after
now,
hours, the event horizon.
One man in a world.
In a world.
The event horizon, starring Samuel Jackson.
Yo, where's that black hole, man?
Of course it needs Samuel Jackson.
I don't know.
There is no complete
movie. I can't see a damn thing.
So you can measure the volume of the event horizons very cleanly. But, for reasons that remain a little bit mysterious to me, when you run the equations, Einstein's equations of what happens inside of a black hole, it births an entire other space-time.
Okay.
An entire other universe. So if you can survive the fall into a black hole, what you will see is the entire future history of the universe you came from unfold before your very eyes. Because time slows down for you, and everything else would look like it's moving fast.
Okay.
And the entire future history of your universe unfolds before your very eyes, and another universe opens up in front of you. So that the black hole, as a portal to an entire other, what we call space-time continuum,
right,
an entire other universe, that comes out of Einstein's equations, the same equations that give us out the structure of our universe. So no one's gone in to test this because
you're not coming back out.
But everything else about his equations work, so it gives us high confidence that maybe this is happening there too. That's why we talk about there's some variance of multiverse thinking where every black hole is just a conduit to whole other universe.
You think it's a whole other universe?
We have this interconnected Warren.
Isn't it just stars being swallowed up?
It'll swallow stars.
Stars.
And it becomes more mass. Yeah.
Never planets, though.
It'll swallow anything that comes near it.
It comes near it.
Anything.
And nothing comes back.
There's a way. There's something called Hawking radiation.
Hawking radiation.
Yeah, Hawking radiation. So Stephen Hawking. He's famous, legitimately famous for a whole lot of reasons.
Yeah.
One of them was he calculated that the energy field surrounding the black hole, you remember E equals MC squared?
Yeah.
That's the equivalence of mass and energy.
Yes.
That energy field can spontaneously create particles.
Right.
Particle pairs, matter and antimatter pairs, one of which falls back into the black hole, the other escapes into space.
Okay.
So a black hole can essentially evaporate very slowly, particle by particle, evaporate by this phenomenon so that it can lose mass through its energy field because mass and energy are one and the same.
Right.
And this is called Hawking radiation. So yes, do come out, but in a very different state than you went in.
Wow.
We got to take a break. When we come back, more Cosmic Queries.
Awesome.
With Godfrey on Star Talk.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me too. and at Comfort Hotels. You'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Brain hurts.
We are back on Star Talk, Cosmic Queries Edition. And I got Godfrey here.
Hey, man.
In the studio.
What's up?
Godfrey tweeting at Godfrey Comedian.
Yes, that's right.
That's a lot of characters to give up to your Twitter handle.
Is it?
Godfrey Comedian. Godfrey,
it's the only way.
That's the only way.
I wanted to be a.
You could shorten it, just say God.
No. I cannot do that.
Thou shalt not do that.
I would say, well, lowercase g. Lowercase. Because people will come up to me and go, oh, do they, and they do it like in an arrogant way, do they call you God for short? You know what I mean? I'm like, yes, they do.
I say, yes.
Yes, they do. And you're a sinner. Yes. Are you ready?
So wait. So these are cosmic phenomena. I haven't seen the question, so bring them on.
Haven't seen it.
Bring them on.
So I'm bringing you, let's see what I'm
bringing.
Let's
see what you got.
I'll see what I got here.
Bring it up.
Joshua Shoup from Twitter.
Okay.
Aliens are so far away they can see our entire history as it's happening. Is that why they don't want to come here?
Yes. Next question. Okay. Well, just let me clarify why that would be the case.
Yes.
If you are at any distance from anything you're looking at,
right,
you see it not as it is, but as it once was.
Mm.
I see you not as you are, but as you were 4 billionths of a second ago.
Whoa.
So light takes about a nanosecond to go a foot.
A nanosecond to go a foot. Wow.
A billionth of a second. So you're about 4 feet from me right now.
Right.
I see you as you once were, 4 billionths of a second to go. So now let's put a civilization in Alpha Centauri, the nearest star system to ours. Okay. That's 4 light years away.
Right.
You're 4 light nanoseconds away from me.
Right.
Alpha Centauri is 4 light years away. So anybody there is watching, if they were could get our signals,
mm-hmm.
They would be seeing Earth, what was going on 4 years ago. There was another campaign for president.
Obama was smashing that dummy.
What is he talking about?
What's that dummy's name? Oh, that Mormon guy.
Mitt Romney.
You could see him getting pummeled.
Well, okay. So he loses. So they would be watching the last few weeks of that campaign. Okay.
Ah.
All right. In real time.
In real time.
As it was unfolding. Because the light is just arriving at them at the time.
Wow.
Okay. So now, if you go farther, so here you go. There are galaxies that might be 65 million light years away. Why'd I pick that number? Because the stuff that was happening here on Earth 65 million years ago is only now just reaching them.
It's just reaching them?
Just reaching them. So they're going to say, hey, let's check out Earth TV. The Earth Channel. I'm sure that's what they sounded like. And so they would see the extinction of the dinosaurs, because that's when the asteroid struck.
The meteor struck.
The size of Mount Everest.
So that's what they would be seeing.
They would watch that in real time. So there's a lot of interesting history on Earth that shouldn't preclude alien visitation. At least maybe they visited the dinosaurs. And then you could ask, why didn't they help them out? You know, and you know, if they were really checking.
So I was thinking they wouldn't come because of Trump. No, nothing.
But Trump is a very recent phenomenon that has not had enough time to reach any planets beyond our own solar system.
Can you imagine?
So there's no understanding of recent current events any aliens anywhere in the galaxy.
I don't want to Trump you, but I go, wrong. That's what he did the whole time. Wrong. So that's interesting. You would actually see the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So they would have access, depending on their distance.
Okay.
They would have access. So what are some events? So let's say, what's a good example? World War I and World War II, pretty tragic times in the history of the Earth, 70, 80, 100 years ago. They might say, these people have messed up.
Right.
Right, and say, we will not come anywhere near. In summary, aliens have never visited because, according to them, there's no sign of intelligent life on Earth.
There it is.
Yeah. All right.
I have another question.
Cosmic phenomena. Bring it on.
This is by William Morris. Facebook.
Okay.
What's a hen weigh?
About 2 to 3 pounds. Next. You can't. What do you think? I was born yesterday? What's a hen weigh?
I just wanted to see that. What's a hen weigh? So there's no science behind that, huh? That's it. Next. That's it. What's
so
a hen
weigh? We should call the first warp drive a hen weigh. So that wherever they land, they say, we got to fix the henway.
We got to fix the henway.
What's a henway? You could run that joke
that's clear.
Across the galaxy.
That was awesome. What a jackass.
Well, this is in, I'm old enough to remember F Troop.
F Troop, that's Larry Storch.
Larry Storch and what was it? It was like the cavalry.
Right.
And the Indians, right?
Right.
In the Wild West. And the name of the tribe were the Hakawi Indians.
The Hakawi?
The Hakawi. And I think in the first episode.
You remember the first episode of F Troop. Damn.
So I think. I think I'm remembering this correctly. In the first episode, the cavalry meets this tribe. And they say, who are you guys? And the Indians say, where the heck are we?
That's hilarious. The Indians say that.
They say, no, they didn't know where they are because they got lost.
The Indians did.
They got lost. They say, where the heck are we? And they say, oh, you're the Hikari. No, who are you? Where the heck are we? We're the Hikari Indians. I think that's how that happened in the very first episode.
The Hikari Indians.
Yes.
I just caught that again. I'm telling you, I'm light years away. The Hikari Indians.
Took you a full 12 seconds.
I was like, the Hikari, because you was, the way you said it.
Because that's how they said it all the rest of the episodes.
But it's F Troop. It was a sitcom.
Okay.
It's a sitcom, man. So that's good. What's all a right. Henway? You knocked that out.
Yeah, so that's, I'm going to call, if I invent the warp drive, it's the Henway warp drive.
Henway warp drive. Yeah, I like that. Ah! Is all that how they sound? Wait, how do hens? Yeah?
Hens?
Hens are the. Brah! No?
That sounds better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Ray Clark, Facebook.
Okay.
If the moon were to somehow be blown apart, would Earth end up with a set of Saturn-like rings?
Yes.
If not, what would happen?
Yes. Temporarily, we would have ring system. An awesome. Yes, using awesome the way God intended awesome to be used.
Oh, yeah.
Not. It would be awesome if you could pass the salt. No. In my day, we use awesome when we discovered the cure to polio. We used awesome when we walked on the freaking moon.
Do you believe that? I don't know. We were talking about that. Do you believe that they landed? I just want to know.
You're asking the wrong.
I'm just saying, man. The astronaut should have been black because we would have been more excited.
Upon landing?
Yes.
They said, Houston, we have just landed on the
moon. Yeah, baby. Yeah. That's how we do, baby. Forget the cosmonauts. We did it first, baby. I'd be like this. No?
That's one small step for man.
Come on. Land on the moon, you go. One small step for man, one giant step for man. It's like when they.
You know what it is?
It's like when the white dude score a touchdown, they just give the ball to the ref. When we score, we're like.
Shake something.
Yeah!
You shake something. Now, here's the thing. I think the emotions that would come about.
Yes.
Among people who would rejoice in having just landed on the moon.
Yes.
Are incommensurate with how you might react in the face of disaster if you face that on your journey. If the oxygen tank blows, holy shit, what am I going to do? Oh, my God. Okay? That's the same person who lands on the moon. Oh, my gosh, I landed on the moon.
Yeah.
So you need people with ice in their veins. Yeah. And Neil Armstrong was just such a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I guess, but I just.
He's landed on the moon and he's running out of fuel? Okay, you know about that. I don't know if you knew about this.
We're running out of
fuel. He was because where they were going to land,
right?
There was like rocky and it was not smooth, and he was worried that the lunar excursion module would tip.
Yeah.
So he starts going sideways.
Okay.
Using very little fuel that's left, and so Houston is saying, "You got to land that puppy." I'm going to still looking, and he's monitoring how much it is.
Yeah.
You know what his heartbeat was when it was like 85 or something. I mean, it was some low heartbeat.
Okay.
That any of us get. Just when we're irritated that we're waiting in line or something.
Yeah.
So, no, these were a very special set of the right stuff.
Okay.
It was truly the right stuff.
How long did it take to get there?
3 days.
It was 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
In the ship.
Yeah, well, how else?
Drinking Tang. I'm just saying. Drinking Tang and sitting there.
3 days. Yeah, 3 days.
3 days. Okay. All right. I'm glad saying. You explained it to me because I was doubting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, oh. My you asked me if I believe it. I don't. One doesn't need to believe when confronted with evidence.
Okay.
That's all.
Ooh, that's deep. Wow.
I should tweet that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should tweet it. You should tweet it. Yes. July 21st, my birthday. So it would always show the anniversary of the landing. They would show, you know, landing on the moon the day before that.
July 21st. July 20th was the date of the newspapers that reported it.
Right. Yes. But that's my birthday. July 20th is the big deal.
Yes, the big deal. Okay.
So the big deal, Neil. You're Neil. Hey, a lot of Neils.
We're both Neils.
Okay. So. Boom.
Did I even answer that question? What was it? What was the question?
It was that would the Earth end up with rings?
Oh, yeah, we would end up with rings, but the particles are not stable.
Why?
Because they'd be hitting one another and they'd be falling. And they have energy from the explosion. Some would escape, others would come back to Earth.
We wouldn't have like our own little rings like Saturn?
Saturn's ring system is, in fact, not stable.
It's not stable.
No. It's a temporary feature. In fact, there's good evidence to suggest that the dinosaurs, if they had telescopes, had they looked at Saturn, would see no rings at all.
Why is that?
Because the ring system, different calculations give different numbers, but millions of years is a common number that I've seen for the life expectancy of the ring system of Saturn, which meant they would have been long, they would not have formed yet. At the time of the dinosaurs. So stuff, you know, things collide, stuff happens.
Of course.
Stuff happens. Just because it didn't happen in your lifetime doesn't mean it's not happening in the universe. So, Earth would have a beautiful ring. It would be beautiful.
You think it'd be better than Saturn's? Saturn used to be my favorite
still
planet.
Still is. It's my favorite planet. Ooh, Saturn's
easy
tough
to be
competition.
His favorite. Yeah.
No, because Saturn's big.
Saturn's big.
Give me some big rings.
Yeah. Big rings, big rings. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, you good? You good on that?
Yeah, we're good.
We're
good.
I got another one.
All right.
Okay, here we go. By the way,
yes. Tides would be greatly reduced at that point.
That's true.
Right.
Because
there would, a whole lot of other things would change about Earth.
Women wouldn't be so moody. Right? It's the period, right?
We're sending you all the mail.
Okay. Wouldn't it affect the menstrual cycle every 28 days?
No, because the phase of the moon is not 28 days.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Waxing and waning. What is it?
Yeah, waxing and waning is 29 and a half days.
Oh, okay.
So it does not match the average menstrual cycle of women. So
okay.
Therefore, you cannot credit or blame the moon for any periodicities in the human female.
So it's just me being a
shitty boyfriend? Consider also that there are plenty of other mammals whose menstrual cycles are very different from a month. They're mammals too.
What other mammals?
I'm not an expert on this.
You said dolphins, right?
I'm
dolphins?
Just saying that you know, mice, you know, just look at your mammal list.
Mice, okay. Yeah. I'll just look at any New York apartment for the mice.
Nothing magical about a month. Nothing magical about a month.
Okay.
Relative to menstrual cycles. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I thought that
I
thought I was on this.
If it's not an exact match, that means they go out of phase yearly, so this is not a thing.
Okay, wow. All right, I like that. Well,
and we can send him all the mail, right, that we get on this.
Would it affect all our moods, though? Because they'd say the moon, when it's full moon, it's affecting our moods.
If you live in a city, I don't know how you can justify that, given the fact that at night, street lamps are brighter than the full moon.
True.
And you don't talk about your moods being affected by streetlights, or what brand of bulb is used.
Cortisol levels are up. No.
Sure, but you can't credit or blame the moon for that. It's because we illuminate our nighttime lives.
That's true. That's true. You're right.
Far brighter than the full moon.
Yes. Set. Yeah.
You know how you know this? You can only barely read under a full moon. So you come in at night, you put on brighter lights, and you can read just fine.
That's true.
So people want to blame the universe for all kinds of stuff that's happening in their life? No.
It's just you. You're
it's just you.
You're high and you're crazy. Just blame it on your ass.
And Shakespeare. In Julius Caesar.
Right.
The fault, dear Brutus, lies not in the stars, but in ourselves.
Hey! Tweet, man!
I'm just saying.
That's, man, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I like that one. Can we, another one?
All right, well, if it's fast.
Okay. I love this, because I'm always a fan of this, but this is Dan Fisher, Facebook. If comets... eject their gases into space? Do we know of any dried up comets, the ones that exhausted all of their gas reserves?
Yes. Nice question.
Yes.
So comets are a mixture of ice and rock.
Right.
And the ice, when it comes near the sun, gets heated, and then it evaporates, or technically speaking, it sublimes. When you go directly from a solid to a gaseous state.
Right.
I'm loose in my vocabulary then. I just say it evaporates.
Okay.
But sublimation is the correct chemical term. You've seen sublimation with dry ice?
Yes.
You ever see dry ice? It doesn't melt.
Right.
It's solid, and then it's not there anymore.
Right.
It's over.
Yes.
Okay. So with comets, every time it comes around the sun, it loses some of its ice.
Right.
And eventually, you can have a comet that's just a ball of debris moving around the sun, and it's no longer a comet. It's just a ball of debris. And we'll just call it an asteroid at that point. And there are many asteroids. There are many asteroids we think were once comets that are just dead right now. I mean, they're living asteroids, but they're dead comets.
They're like retired comets?
That's a better word.
They're like, I don't do that thing anymore. I'm an old man now.
We
I let
done.
You young boys go around and around. I used to be, and then the other comments say, you used to be the man at one time. Halley's comment. What's happening, brother?
You can slap him as he goes by.
What's up? 76.1 years. Is that the truth about Halley's comet?
Halley.
76.1 years it comes?
Its time around the sun varies depending on what Jupiter does to it.
Okay.
It could be 74 years, 77. It averages 70.
So do you believe that Mark Twain was born and died? And Halley's Comet came in return?
We don't have to believe it. It's a fact.
It's a fact.
Yeah, and when things are facts, you don't have to,
you don't have to believe
your human belief system to accept them.
When you said Jupiter. Remember the Jupiter effect? Remember that big deal?
That's another segment.
Okay. I didn't know.
When we come
Jupiter,
back.
That's another segment.
The man is on fire. He's lit up.
I'm like a comet, man. My ice
can't get enough. He wants more. All right. When Star Talk returns, more Cosmic Queries. This is still Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I serve as the director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City.
Nice.
And, it means I have the keys to the sky.
I want to go.
You want to go? I'll invite you.
Come on, man.
Let's go now.
I want to go now.
Godfrey, you've got a comedy special on Showtime.
Showtime, yes.
What's it called? What's it called?
It's called Regular Black.
Uh-oh. All right, here we go. Regular Black.
Reason why I call it Regular Black, because when growing up in Chicago, my African-American friends, they heard my parents talking.
Okay.
And my parents had thick accents. And they
thick,
were like,
thick Nigerian accents.
Oh, yeah. And they were like, yo, man, where your parents from? I said, oh, I'm Nigerian. They were like, oh, we thought you were like regular black.
Okay.
Like, we regular black. You know, like, we from Mississippi, Kentucky. We thought you were regular.
No, but what you should have said was, I am African American.
Oh! Ow! That would have been,
that would have
phrase back
that then. That would have nothing they could say.
Nothing.
There it is.
That's where that title comes from.
Yeah. So, wait, Cosmic Queries. A cosmic phenomenon. All right, what do you have? Go.
The controversies of naming celestial bodies.
Mm-hmm.
What's the controversy? What's the controversy? It's Rick Roberts asking.
No, there's no controversy.
There are no controversies.
Yeah, next question.
Okay.
No.
Like,
no.
Do they
so here go. I'm going to tell you. You ready? Okay. So, planets are named for Roman gods.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
Asteroids were formerly named also for Roman gods when people thought they were planets.
Okay.
Then, after the first few dozen asteroids were discovered in the asteroid belt, they said, these aren't planets, these are something else. We need another word for them. And even though on the sky they kind of look like a star because they're little and you can't see like a surface on them because they're so little, there's like a point of light, so they're kind of star-like.
Right.
But they're not stars, they're asteroid. Star-like.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that. Well, that's why we did.
So what would hemorrhoid be?
That's they're out near Uranus.
Ass-like?
Find the hemorrhoids near Uranus. You got that? Okay.
I like that.
What?
Neil deGrasse is quick, baby. He's a Tachyon. He's a Tachyon comedian. You said near Uranus. That was perfect.
I'm just trying to. I know
said,
my
I
universe.
Said hemorrhoid. That's ass like near your anus. You just did a whole booty joke.
scientifically.
Well, that justifies the booty joke. Because we got science in there, science vocabulary. All
right. Okay, that was.
Right. Okay, so asteroid. So then, when too many of those got discovered, then we just gave up. Okay. And they're named after any person, place, or thing.
Okay.
So initially they were named after feminized things and objects. So there's an asteroid Mozartia.
Mozartia?
Yeah, that's to feminize it because the asteroids are only named after feminine. The original asteroids are named after feminine gods.
Wow. Okay.
Roman gods. Okay. So now, then they just gave up because there's too many asteroids. So, because there's hundreds of thousands of asteroids. Yeah. And so, I even have, there's an asteroid named after me called Tyson.
No.
Yeah.
Not Mike Tyson?
I said it's named after me, so why would it be named after Mike Tyson?
Okay. I mean, asteroid.
Oh, you're saying there's an asteroid named Tyson, and I'm claiming that it's named after me. Wondering if it's named after Tyson Chickens, or Tyson Beckford.
That would be a handsome asteroid.
That's a handsome That'd be chocolate black.
Chocolate
handsome
black
ass.
it's sexual chocolate. It's a chocolate asteroid. Am I doing it like it? I'm sorry. Sex of chocolate.
So that's, those are, there's asteroids named after person, places, things, right, and pets. Okay. There's even one named after Santa. All right. So asteroids have the most diversity in what they have been named.
Because there's so many of them.
There's so many of them. Thank you. You just run out of all the gods there ever was. All right. So moons of planets.
Like Jupiter.
Any moon of any planet.
Yeah.
Is named after the Greek gods that played a role in the life of the Greek counterpart to the Roman god after whom the planet is named.
Okay.
So Jupiter has, one of its moons is Ganymede. Ganymede was the manservant of Zeus.
Okay.
And Zeus is the counterpart to Jupiter.
Wow.
So these two nomenclatures are homage to the Roman and Greek traditions that have influenced Western science.
What about
the growth of Western science? Io was a character in Jupiter's Life. I don't remember all they were, but they're there. That's you great. Look them up, they're there. Okay, that. That's right. Now, there's more to this answer than I think either you knew, right? Okay.
So
you got that. So it turns out William Herschel,
okay,
was the first person to discover a planet.
The first person.
This is the planet beyond Saturn. For most of human civilization, there was only Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, six planets. In fact, most of the time, there were only five because we didn't know Earth was one of them.
Ah.
It was just Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn.
Okay.
Okay? So Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, five, plus the sun and the moon were counted as planets. Planets from the Greek meaning wanderer, which means you move, if you wait long enough, against the background stars. And there were seven wanderers that were known to the ancients. And this is where we get the names for the 7 days of the week. So what day is named after the sun?
Sunday.
After the moon.
Monday.
And in our culture, it's a mixture of Roman and Norse mythologies. Right. But each of those gods corresponds with the controlling god over those seven entities. Okay. So then Copernicus comes around, discovers that we're one of these planets because we go around the sun like everybody else, and we're not in the center with everything going around us. So that complicated things, just right. So you know. All right.
He had the coolest name, though, out of all of them. Nicholas Copernicus. That's the tightest name.
Not Galileo Galilei?
Galileo Galilei looks lazy. That looks lazy.
Okay, because it's the same thing.
Copernicus.
Nicholas.
Yo, Copernicus. Yo, that's hot.
That's a rhyme waiting to happen.
It's like a rapper's
rap
name.
That's a rap.
Everything surrounds me, baby. Copernicus, baby. What's up, Cap?
Okay. Keep working on that and come back. We'll hear how that.
Kepler. Kepler's tight.
Johannes Kepler.
Ooh, that's hot.
He's badass. He was the first person to ever write down an equation that described physical reality.
Wow.
He wrote Kepler's Laws of Planetary Motion. That was in early 1600s. So we've only had mathematics describing the universe for 400 years.
Okay.
And he basically birthed that. So getting back to the names.
Yes.
So because Herschel was the first to discover a planet, no one had a tradition of naming planets yet. because they hadn't been discovered yet. Everyone knew these things in the sky.
Yeah.
So there was no tradition yet.
Right.
So he just named it after his principal funder, which was King George. So for many decades, the enumeration of the planets of the solar system was Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and George.
And George? George,
yes, planet George.
Wow.
So now that's kind of...
That's so mean. That's like that's so gangster. Name it George. I gave you the money. Don't try it. I want to be a planet.
This didn't last. Internationally, it didn't last. But they had to like be nice to the Brits because they discovered it. All right.
Right.
So as a recompense,
right.
The moons of Uranus, this is the only exception, mm-hmm. rather than being named for Greek characters in the life of the Greek counterpart to the Roman god after whom the planet is named, mm-hmm. Uranus's moons are named after fictional characters in Shakespearean literature.
Oh, okay.
So that's homage to...
One.
Iago? there might be one. I don't know. There's like 60...
Othello? Can I get an Othello?
I'll go check on that. we've got Miranda, Puck, Oberon. They're a lot from A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's
okay. Okay.
That's there. Okay. And lastly, stars are no longer really named anymore. Most of the stars that have names have Arabic names.
Oh,
so
wow.
The Arabic tradition is also preserved in the modern reckoning of the names of things.
Wow.
And after a certain while, we just number them in a catalog.
Okay.
And comets are named after their discoverers or people after whom the discoverer wants to name them. But they're named after people exclusively.
Okay. I know only Edmund Halley.
Yeah, Halley's.
Yeah, he did. Or Haley's or Halley's?
It is Halley.
Is it Halley?
Yeah,
okay.
Haley is Bill Haley in the comets.
Whoa. We got to rock. I'm on the rock tonight. We got to rock.
That messed with the proper pronunciation of Edmund Halley for decades.
Sure, it was a shake. Rattle and roll.
Around the sun. Down and
hey.
We got to go lightning round. 3 minutes left.
All right.
Okay, lightning round.
Boom, boom, boom.
Do it.
Okay.
Okay.
These questions are too long. This is PD J. Craigle.
Okay.
Here's a shorty. How does life come from non-life?
Oh, sorry. We have no idea. That is a biological frontier. How do you go from organic molecules to self-replicating life? That is a fascinating frontier in biology, and we look forward to the solution of that in the coming years. Next.
Okay. Here is Rafael Alves. He's from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. How is it possible that the further we look into the observable universe, we see the cosmic microwave radiation, the oldest light in the universe? Assuming that it comes from matter beyond our observable universe, doesn't it mean that the universe expanded faster than the speed of light after the Big Bang? If the universe is roughly 13.75 billion years old, how could the oldest photons have traveled around 45 to 47 billion light years towards Earth? How come our 13.75 billion year old universe is 93 billion light years across? How is it possible?
Because the fabric of the universe can expand faster than light. There is no law of physics preventing that. The speed of light limit is anything traveling within the space that is self-expanding. That cannot travel faster than light. The fabric of the universe itself can travel without a problem. And yes, the early universe did expand faster than the speed of light itself.
Whew.
This is not a contradiction.
Woo!
Godfrey, we got time for one more.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Peter Murdoch, is there any way to tell how large the universe is? As more light reaches our over time, we see more. But if the universe was finite, could this stop happening? And if so, what would that look like?
I love that question. You know why? Because I think about it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because there's an expanding horizon. It's a time horizon. And in a billion years, mm-hmm. we will see a billion light years more of this universe, because that's an extra billion years that part of the universe had to reach us.
Okay.
Okay, so now, because in other words, if we're only 13.8 billion years old, where's the light from something that's 15 billion years away from us? It hasn't had time to reach us yet. Wait a billion years, then that comes in, you see that part of the universe. Now, watch what happens. If in 16 billion years, age, nothing starts coming to us, that would mean the horizon has washed over the last bit of matter in the universe. and there'll be no more cosmology left to be revealed. Because, and that would be then the literal edge of all the matter in the universe.
Done.
Woo! That has not happened yet, which is why there is still something called cosmology, where we can look far out and see the birth of the universe itself.
Oh!
Godfrey, thanks for...
Thank you for... Oh, this is...
So you, so
my brain hurts.
Yeah, you are no longer a cosmic queries virgin. Welcome.
No, I'm not.
Welcome to the company.
So I just got banged. Big banged.
Godfrey, you're on Showtime. I'm going to find you after I pay my bill for Showtime.
They're
for Showtime.
Paying the bill for you. Cosmos.
No. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist. This has been Star Talk and Cosmic Queries Edition. And till next time, I bid you.